Hello and welcome to episode 56 of Good Copy, Bad Copy. I'm Emily King, Radix's content marketing manager, and I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-House, founder and lead copywriter at Radix Communications.
Hello.
And Radix's creative director, David McGuire.
How are you doing?
So you've guessed it. It's the end of the year episode. We're going to be looking back at what's happened in B2B copywriting and marketing over 2017 and our predictions for what 2018 may bring, or also just what we hope 2018 may bring. Plus, we've got some guest appearances from allies of good B2B content everywhere.
Bless them.
As they weigh in on what's happened this year in B2B copy marketing and what they predict for next year and their wishes for 2018. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, please feel free to email us via podcast@radix-communications.com or you can tweet us at radix.com.
Not just the end of the year, is it, Emily?
No,
it's
no,
the
it's
end
not.
Of an era.
It is. It really is.
Only a few people know this, so Radix staff, where I'm heading to, know this, obviously, and some friends and family. I'm leaving Radix at the end of December.
It's so sad.
And I'm moving on to other fields of content creation. I'll be updating my LinkedIn at an appropriate time to say where I've headed to. But that's all I can say for the moment, publicly.
Oh, so the good ship, good copy, bad copy, will have to sail on without its captain. This is sad.
Yeah,
and slightly worrying.
It is slightly worrying. I mean, this is the podcast is your baby. This is your idea, and I think I was quite a reluctant participant at the start. But yeah, I think it's been 4 years, this podcast, hasn't it? So something like that, 56 episodes. So yeah, we'll miss you generally, but we're going to miss you on the podcast. A lot.
I'm sure the listeners would say the same thing. If you have nice things to say to Emily, email them to podcast@radix-communications.com or tweet them at radix.com. But you'll need to do it before we break up for Christmas.
Yes,
because after that, Emily won't be here.
No, but I will be checking social media and listening to future episodes to see how things go.
highly professional output that we'll be coming up with.
and then tweeting at you guys.
I don't have a good track record of making the recordy thing work.
It's fine. We've got at least one other person here that knows how mixes work. It's fine. So, Fiona, what have you seen change in B2B copywriting or marketing during 2017?
So, 2017, I think, has been a funny old year.
Yes.
It was like 2016 was the weirdest year of all time. And everyone went, cool, we'll never see another year as weird as that. And 2017 was like, hold my beer.
Well, absolutely. I mean, 2016 was a weird year out there in the world. Mm. It was a very good year for Radix. Mm-hmm. But 2017, and it wasn't just us. The year started out very unexpectedly, quite badly, and I get the impression from other kind of agencies in our sphere that it wasn't great for them. And then I read something the other day about how even for WPP the year started really badly, and I think this is the Trump effect. You know, when he was elected, when he became president, a lot of big companies, the type that, you know, where our work comes from, where our agency clients' work comes from, just put things on hold for a little while and kind of looked around and said, okay, this is an entirely new world we're in now. What's this new world like and what's going to happen? So the year started off with lots of things just going slow, lots of projects being put on hold. Really happy to say that it's all very much picked up since then. But it was an odd start to the year. But apart from that, what else have I seen? David and Emily do chip in.
Well, one of the things that was everyone predicted this podcast last year, and I think you predicted it, I predicted it, and a lot of our listeners predicted it as well, was that ABM would be a very big hot topic this year.
Definitely. And ABM has been a huge hot topic this year, hasn't it? I mean, B2B Marketing dedicated their entire autumn conference to ABM. There's been an awful lot written about it. There's an awful lot of agencies springing up around ABM. There's a lot of technology tools out there dedicated to ABM. I get the impression that it's still in the phase where lots of people are talking about it and kind of getting their ducks in a row and not necessarily doing it so much yet. We have seen some ABM projects, not as many as we thought we were going to see, I don't think. And it's definitely on my predictions for next year. I think it might actually start happening next year.
I think our predictions work on a two-year cycle. I think all our predictions from last year are going to come true this year.
Are we saying that our predictions work a bit like the Gartner hype cycle? Because that's what that feels like.
Yeah, we could put them on a hype cycle. Yes, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
The like, Radix hype cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
Or unicycle. Yeah, and in a sense, that's not because I had this fear for a while. I think I mentioned it last year that we're going to get to a point where ABM just becomes spam, and the more this stuff is being pushed by the automation and the technology rather than the content and the copy, the closer you get to being the situation where the idea of, hey, here's a thing we created just for you, loses its power because you get 10 of those a day. You know, and we haven't seen that yet. Hopefully we won't.
No, but I think that's a really good point because there's been an awful lot of stuff written about, you know, ABM best practice. How do you go about it? What do you need in order to run a great ABM program? And very few of those pieces talk about the actual writing of the actual content, the actual production of the actual content that you're going to send to these very key prospects. So I think, yes, we are in danger of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, here's all the technology you need to send people stuff. Yeah. They don't really care about what the stuff is. They just go, oh, yes, it needs to align to their pain points and their ways of talking. Oh, you mean it needs writing really, really well then? You know, and that's why, you know, I had to big up yourself, Fiona, for your ebook that you wrote on the topic, which is, you know, one of the most comprehensive ebooks I've ever seen on a subject.
Well, thank you. But at least 50% of it was based on a blog you wrote. So there we go.
Look. Well,
mutual bigging up.
There. Well, I think that that's good. And I think that people hopefully will come around to that and they'll realize that. I mean, one of the things I've noticed this year is certainly around content in general, there's been more talk against faux thought leadership, you know, and thought leadership that doesn't really contain any leading thoughts and doesn't really have anything to do with the people whose names are on it, doesn't have any opinions, doesn't have anything novel in it. And people are beginning to come out against that. And hopefully, you know, the idea of empty ABM won't last very long. Because if it does, ABM will lose all its power.
Yeah. Yep. Very quickly, yes.
Hi there, everyone. This is Evelyn van Kelle, content lead at the Software Improvement Group, all the way from the Netherlands. And when I look back in 2017, I am very happy to conclude that this year was all about quality over quantity when it comes to content. Victory for high quality, relevant, in-depth content that is truly meaningful for our audience. So my prediction for 2018 is that good marketing will be mainly data-driven, meaning analytical skills will become more and more important, making smarter decisions that are powered by analytics rather than gut feeling. And I can see this leading to a further boost in account-based marketing as well, because we will be able to deliver greater value by producing highly customized content based on all this precious data that we now have. So what I'd like to see happening then, and let's call this my Christmas wish, is that this increase in business intelligence will also lead to an increase in data-driven sales and marketing alignment. Because having the facts right in front of us will hopefully smoothen this alignment. And in the end, we all want to share the most relevant, valuable content with our audience. And 2018 might have plenty of opportunities to do so.
So have you seen any sort of other big changes this year in B2B copywriting or marketing?
Well, I think as writers, one of the things that's been interesting this year is that clients are increasingly asking us to come up with creative ideas and do sort of creative planning work as part of the writing process. That's something that's becoming, I think, more integrated. And I think maybe that's a sign that people know that just, you know, that they want more brains, more points of view, more lateral thinking on something to create content that really cuts through and, you know, and stands out, look, you know, looks different, looks at things in a different way. I think that's coming now more often than clients coming to us and saying, here is a brief, here's what it's going to be about, here's the target audience, here's the format, it needs to be this many, you know, and all this stuff. People want to get us involved a bit earlier in the process. I know people have different views about that. I find that quite fun and quite exciting and quite energizing, be able to collaborate with a client over what the thing is going to be, as well as the writing of the thing.
But then I suppose one of the big issues with having that kind of, sort of creativity being asked for is, like, how do you make sure that you cover for that in pricing and how you quote? Because surely, certainly I assume other freelancers could be put into this position as well. So freelancers and other agencies and that, like, how do you accommodate for thinking in your pricing?
Yes. I mean, this is, yes, for us and for a lot of other writers, this is almost a new discipline, almost a new service. You know, I can't speak for other writers, but we ourselves have done quite a bit of work this year on, you know, putting together a kind of cost structure and pricing structure around that. And if anybody's interested in seeing our price list, they can get in touch and we will happily send them a copy.
Yes, even if you're another writer.
Even if you're another writer.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that's the thing. And because it does vary so much around what the nature of the idea is, you know, because a lot of clients will come to you and say, well, you know, this is part of your business development process because we're going to come to you for the writing work. But actually, when it gets to be more of a creative planning consultancy element, something that a full service agency would have charged them separately for, then you need to look at it, you know, in a different way as a separate service, I think. But, you know, this is something that our listeners who are writers, who are working agencies and who are client-side marketers may all have views on. So, you know, if they'd like to email us or tweet us about that, I'd really like to know what they think. Another thing I think changed, or at least has really become embedded this year, is the idea of blogs going longer, becoming more in-depth. I think it was a thing that we saw last year. Last year, Orbit Media said that, you know, the average blog post went over 1,000 words for the first time. That's increased. It's gone up another 88 words. So it's now 1,142 words is the average blog post. Now there are almost as many 2,000 word blog posts being published as there are 500 word blog posts being published. And both of those things are still associated with positive outcomes, you know, good results, good return on investment. I think that's important. That's not necessarily a thing that's changed this year, but it certainly shows that the previous year wasn't a blip. I mean, it had increased very, very quickly. So the average length of a blog has gone up over 300 words since 2014. So the rate of increase has slowed a bit, but it's still that's become very very much the norm now. You know, and there are, you know, lots of the brands that are looking at doing more strategic content, more in-depth content, and investing more in that as well. Like, I know that LinkedIn did an experiment where they started blogging longer and less often, just to, you know, and they thought, well, let's push this to a ridiculous, you know, and we'll see where the drop-off point is with engagement. And they never hit it. You know, just the longer and more in-depth the blog posts got, the more engagement they got. So they're certainly posting less often and longer and more in depth. But you were saying, Emily, that they're not the only ones to be doing that.
Well, I mean, Content Marketing Institute have had, like, a really the amount of content they put out has always been like sort of like quite a bit. I think they maybe slowed down a little bit a few years ago, but certainly for the past few years, they've been releasing one piece of content every day of the week. I think maybe they don't do it over Christmas, maybe. I'm pretty sure they had something go out on Thanksgiving. So like, that, you know, that's a lot of content to be producing over the course of a year. And then they've properly announced, I think today, that they're going down to, or at least in the past month, they're going down to 5 pieces of content a week. So they're not publishing on weekends anymore, because then, you know, it's nobody's looking on weekends. So they're going down to 5 pieces of content a week. This might be slightly tied in the fact that founder Joe Polizzi is kind of stepping back a bit at the start of next year. And their podcast, actually, which is a bit younger than ours, is going to be going on a hiatus. But they're, you know, there's still been quite a focus on quality going there, because they're like, well, if people aren't reading at weekends, what's the point in putting new content out if there's only a few people? Like, they should focus when people are engaging with it. And of course, it's a very sort of, you know, business people working people kind of like focused site. So it kind of makes sense that people would be looking at things to do with their work during work, either around lunch or sort of like in between meetings and stuff. So
these things are all weirdly connected, because I've literally only just made the connection, David, between what you were saying about blogs and something I had down on my list here of a trend that I've seen in 2017, which is that ebooks, like the kind of landscape PDF format ebook that we've all come to know and love, seems to be going away. And that, I mean, classic ebook is 2,500 words. It's a middle of funnel, almost, I guess, sort of how to do something, solve a business problem. That seems to be something that's now going into the blog realm. And a lot of the blogs that we're writing are that, almost that kind of length and very in-depth detailed. How do you do something? How do you fix a problem? How do you address a problem? And it's interesting what you were saying, Emily, about how Content Marketing Institute have decided to post less, and they were posting on this kind of very regular schedule. Because my other trend that I saw this year was that content production seems to have become quite factory-like, so quite formulaic. It's like, you know, we will do an ebook and we'll do an infographic and we'll do a video to go with it, and it's all very just kind of conveyor, sort of chugging it out. Quite a lot of creativity and creative thinking seems to have been lost over the year, which is a shame. Mm-hmm.
Hi everyone, it's John Asperian here, and I'm a technical copywriter. My highlight of the year has been seeing the positive effect of producing helpful technical content on a regular basis, as my website traffic has tripled in 2017, and that's the message that I'm trying to get over to clients. Commit to a long-term content creation plan, and you will eventually see good results. My prediction for 2018, I think the social networks now frown on external links so much that we need to consider posting more native content, and I've been having good results when posting status updates in LinkedIn. And I think that's the network to be on in 2018 if you're a B2B content writer. Thanks as always for putting on a good show. Cheers.
I feel like there might be a couple of people coming out because saying that less can be more, because one of the trends from Content Marketing Institute's B2B report this year was that they had, even though there was more people using content marketing to a degree, I mean, there's a high lot of the respondents using it do use content marketing, they were producing less, but then quality was a bigger focus. So maybe that balance will sort of start to come in maybe next year.
It's interesting, because I think some of the PDF ebooks that we've done, some of them have had kind of really good results for clients still. And I still think, you know, that people are using them tactically as a kind of a gated lead generation thing. And I don't know if it's maybe just in certain sectors where there goes. So you think they're going away altogether, Fiona? Or do you think just that the ebooks that there are getting, you know, similarly, almost like the blog post, fewer, further between, and longer, and much more in depth, so that there's a real, because if a blog post 2,000 words long, then the value exchange that you need for a gated ebook, you know, you need to deliver that much more value in an ebook again.
Yes. Now, I'm not an expert on gating strategies. I also think we're probably going into predictions for next year, because this is where my prediction was going, was yes, the ebook as a kind of gated PDF format seems to be going away. And what seems to be happening to that type of content is that either it's becoming a blog or it's becoming something like a sort of interactive scrolling webpage.
See, this is where one of my predictions is going to come in, because I think that businesses, brands, they're going to have to focus more on the fact that their content is going to be read on devices that are not desktop or laptop PC, that they are going to have to consider mobile phones, well, smartphones, phablets, and tablets. I mean, even though tablet sales are down, people are still using them a lot more for work now than they were before. And obviously, like a multi-page PDF document is not always the most friendly of things to be navigating on a phone, especially when, of course, the design isn't responsive to the size of the screen.
Yeah. So I think, that's one of the reasons why the ebook that we know is going away and is becoming the same sort of thing, is just happening in a different format.
So, David, do you have any predictions or hopes for next year?
Well, I mean, last year I sort of hoped that ABM and content marketing would come together and have a lovely baby with, you know, where you get all of that really nice, rich personalization and persona details, and use that to inform content and really tailor it for someone. And I still think there's a thing there, because I think the content that goes really, really super niche, you know, that really answers some, you know, real people's real questions, I think there's a place for that, and I think that has real value. And I think the more niche you can be, the more targeted you can be, the more cut through you'll get, because people still have that thing of this is specifically for me, this is specifically answering my questions. So sort of a prediction, sort of a wish for next year. But I really, you know, with the briefs that we get through, I'd love to see marketers really, you know, target till it hurts, you know, really be very clear about who the piece that we're writing is not for and who it is for.
I'm really hoping next year is a combination of blogs becoming more important, that we perhaps see the drop of formats, like lessons that X popular TV show can teach us about X thing related to this business thing.
Oh yeah, my God, yes.
No argument from me there. No.
And I'm also kind of hoping, I know I predicted VR for last year for being bigger this year. I'm kind of hoping VR, again, continues to become more mainstream. There's so much potential there for B2B.
I think VR is going to be the new video. I think it's going to be the thing that everybody predicts for next year, every year. I think, you know, it's going to keep being, next year will be the year of VR perennially.
I do think VR's got a really good role to play in another thing that we keep seeing coming back, and perhaps it never actually quite does, which is like bottom of funnel product focused content. And I think VR's got a really good role to play in making products come alive.
Enough about us and what we think. I mean, we have whole pages of predictions here, and you don't want to know what I think is going to happen to email marketing next year. Divide in half, and, you know.
You're going to tell us anyway.
Don't pour water on email marketing, and don't feed it after midnight. The listener, we want to know what you think. These are just our thoughts, but you're out there in the world at least as close to it as we are. So tweet us at radix.com. Let us know what you'd like to see in B2B copy and marketing next year, and what you think's actually going to happen if they're not the same things. And remember to email or tweet us with your love and thanks and best wishes for Emily as well as she goes on her way and leaves us floundering.
Emily, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You can also, you know, sign up to Radix's monthly insights email to get the latest copywriting tips and insights by heading to radix-communications.com. Just going to point that out. But I hope everyone has a good holiday season and a great new year.
Absolutely. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.